Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 27th, 2019, and today we are reading from the Big Book on page 28, the fourth paragraph down, which begins, "We think it no concern." Today's readers are Stacy T. reading the 12 Steps, Susan H. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Cindy D. and Kathy Jo P. The reference numbers for yesterday, Sunday, May 26th, the special edition meeting, is 12,956 or 12956. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 12,957 or 12957. Our newcomer greeter today is Ginger C., and at the end of the meeting, Janice P.M. will share announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stacy T. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Stacy T., recovering in Cleveland. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Stacy T. And I will now ask Susan H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Susan H., recovered compulsive eater. Thanks for the opportunity to give service. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are not our but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Susan H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 28, the fourth paragraph down, and I will ask Cindy D. to get us started.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. We think it no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. This should be an entirely personal affair, which each one decides for himself in the light of past associations or his present choice. Not all of us join religious bodies, but most of us favor such membership. What this brings up for me is, you know, I was brought up in one religion, and I felt forced on me, and I later left that and kind of searched around and didn't really feel like I ever found what I was looking for. And when I came to Vision, I did get a connection with a higher power, and I always had this yearning for wanting more around my higher power, feeling like I wanted to know him better. I did want to have a religious community, but I haven't found that yet. But in particular, in the last week, what I have found with the Vision meetings, they've been so moving and have touched me so deeply. And I have felt my spirituality and my connection with my higher power growing, almost by leaps and bounds, you know, just so all-encompassing, so all-knowing, so all-touching. I mean, it pervades and surrounds everything now in my life, and it's just such a great feeling. And I remember someone sharing on the line, you know that you know, and it's hard to explain to someone, and that's how it feels to me. It's just, I can't describe it more than a warmth in my body, and I'm finding that it goes hand in hand with you know, my relationships and everything that I'm doing right now. Yeah, my husband left this morning to go back on the road. He's on the road all the time. And for the first time, I just am sitting with this real sadness around him leaving, and also such compassion for his sadness or how hard it is for him to leave. And I was just kind of oblivious to that when I was in the food, and even in my first few months in the program, I was still in a selfish place of seeing my own thing. But I think that that's my higher power working in my life. And even though I'm sitting with this sadness, I feel safe, and I feel like he's safe. And that's a pretty nice feeling to have. And I credit all of that to working this program and really getting connected. And then I'm also finding, working with my sponsees, that it just amazes me sometimes the things that come out of my mouth. I don't know where they come from. And that has to be a God thing. It has to be, you know, the connection speaking through me. And I'm so grateful for that. It gives me such a purpose. So I'm just living in joy and just gratitude for this program and for all my fellows who have been part of my journey and continue to be. And I wish this for everyone who seeks it. And with that, I will pass. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Cindy D., for getting us started. Okay, I'd like a group of names. If you could try one at a time, that would really be helpful to me.
Ginger C.
Ginger C.
Freedom.
Roz.
Freedom.
Lance L.
Roz G.
Okay, Lance L, Roz G, and maybe two more.
Jackie H.
Jackie H. And who else came in with Jackie?
Susan H.
Susan H. Okay, we'll stop there. Ginger C., please go ahead. Ginger, press star 1 to unmute.
Oh, I'm here. Kathy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your service this morning. And what a beautiful beginning. You know, it should be no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with. It's entirely a personal affair, anything that works for them, because as an addict, as a real reader, my number one problem is I lack power. And if that will then pick up that first bite, I'm screwed.
I'm having trouble hearing you. I don't know if it's my phone, but you're coming in and out. Can you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. No, I was just saying, I just love this beginning, and it just reminds me, first and foremost, as an addict, I lack power. So if I don't have anything between me and the food, I will absolutely be eating, guaranteed. And that this, you know, it's no concern of mine what you're choosing as your higher power. It's none of my business. But find something, and find something that works. So not only that you believe in this power, but that you can fully rely upon it. 100%. You have to give God everything in that third step. So what is it going to be? What is going to work for you today so you stay safe and protected from that bite that's desperately trying to get back in? And thank God, that beautiful sentence that Ebby gave us. Choose your own conception. Whatever works for you. This broad highway, it is all-inclusive, and it's open to anyone and everyone. So anyone that uses the, quote, God excuse as to why they can't get 12-step, they're just not done. They're not out of ideas, and they're not ready. Because we don't hold anything. We don't hold you to anything. We just know for a fact that, again, if I don't have something, I'm not going to be able to stay sober and clean and hopefully have my last sober breath be without the food. And I would not want to miss this for anything. Right now I'm out on a hike with my dog. I'm looking at these beautiful white-capped mountains in this amazing state that I live in. The sun is shining. The trees are rustling. I get to be alive and awake and experiencing this. I never saw anything. I pretty much was in my bed, and I felt like a hospice patient. I was bed-bound. because all I knew was the food. And like Bill, I had my alcohol at the head of my bedstand. And the first thing in the morning, that's what I had to go for, was that hit of sugar, because that's all I knew to get my feet to hit the floor. And now my feet are walking and they're alive and I'm exercising and I'm living. So again, if your God's not working today, fire it and find something that is, because it is this 100% reliance. I can't give God 90 and still hold on to 10%. I am still committing suicide. God is everything or God is nothing. And what is my choice to be? And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Ginger C. Freedom, can you give us your last initial and please share?
Hi, thank you for all those who do service. I love the 12-step program. For years, I was brainwashed by legalistic ideas that if I lived with many people, and I feel like I lived many different lives because I tried to fit in to whoever I lived with. And I felt like if I didn't do what they wanted me to do, like wear a girdle or do everything they condemned me, pretty much that I was going to go to hell. If I didn't wear my dress to the floor and didn't, it was all outward appearance. There was no inward. It was not based on inward real love, unconditional love and beauty. It was based on what, how you look to the outside and your image. And it was completely legalistic brainwashing. And they meddled so much that it actually kept me from seeing God's will for my life, because I was too busy trying to do what they wanted me to do instead of, they never leaded me like the program leads me to what God wants to do. And I feel it's very personal. I love how it sets me free knowing that the entire personal affair, it's so personal. And I wish people would have respected that with me and taught me that, like this program teaches me that, that it's my personal business. And that it's very sacred. It's not something I necessarily want to share with everybody else. My personal relationship with my higher power is very sacred to me. And I had so many people coming in telling me, and all it led was massive confusion and stress. And then I would just eat more and more and confused and lost and just self-condemned. Just felt like, well, I might as well get my fix because I'm never going to be the pony to jump through that hoop. I'm never going to be good enough to jump through this hoop. So I just gave up, I just gave up. It just totally condemned me and defeated me. But this program set me free, brought me back to life, brought me, released me from all this chains and bondage of this crazy, insane thinking that if people did this, they're going to hell. And if people did that, they're condemned, they're wrong, it's all judgments. And I didn't know, though. I didn't know because I grew up in an alcoholic home and I lived with many different people. I ended up moving around a lot in my early stage, and I just didn't know. I just didn't know, and not until I found this program, not until I found OA, 12-step program, that's the only thing that saved my life, the only thing. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Freedom H. Lance L., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lance L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. And let's think about where we are in the book. You know, we have just heard about the problem. And the problem centers in the mind and the body. And that any description of our problem that leaves out either one of those is not relatable to me. And, I find myself in this book and 28 pages plus into it, I really see that there's a huge problem. Well, in my case, it was all about me and me being the most powerful thing in my world. And, I was in control. And if I chose to lose control, then that was my choice. And that's how I existed for 30 plus years, is that, it was my choice and I could do what I wanted with my life. Well, that took me to depths that I did not plan. It took me to thinking that was horrible. It was torturous thinking. And, I had to find that, I had a history of learning about a God and learning about religion and all these kind of things. And I kind of thought that religion was all about groups. Like I had to belong to a group in order to know a power greater than myself. And through this program, it's really helped me to see that this is a personal matter. This is for me to discover on my own. Now I have the option of taking different ideas and theories from different groups, but this is relationship for recovery is between me and the idea that I have about a higher power. And I went through probably about 6 different theories, from love to hate to enemy to friend to discovering that I was a higher power, and then came back to relapse. And finally, I found that there is a solution that has to do with a higher power that is more powerful than anything human and more powerful than anything that I have. And that's where my program is right now. I work these steps not for abstinence. I work these steps to grow close to the idea I have of a higher power. And because of that, I'm recovered. You know, if I'm all about weighing myself and weighing my food and weighing my options as to what kind of workout plan that I'm going to have for my body, it always turns into turmoil for me. So it's all about working these steps and being of maximum service to others, so that way I grow closer to my higher power. Because as I grow closer to that higher power, I grow further away from the addictive thinking and the addictive foods. And, I can't wait for this next chapter. This next chapter talks all about the thinking that precedes the first drink. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lance L. Raj G., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. I needed to unmute. My name is Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. It is a beautiful day, as mentioned before, in my neck of the woods as well, and I'm so grateful to be out with my dogs. And I prefer being in a church. I prefer such a membership. And Overeaters Anonymous has given me such a delightful attitude and has made me a much more of a pleasant member of this church. I look to see where religious people are right. I no longer judge and condemn people, whether they are self-righteous or not. It's none of my business. And I get to go and praise my God on Sundays, sing in the choir. But this book has given me the ability to do that. As shared earlier, I was in a legalistic system myself, and most of, if not all, of the fellowships were surrounded by food. And me and so many other people ate uncontrollably. So while I'm glad to be a member of this church, I do put my abstinence and my relationship with God first, because my relationship with God is outside of the walls of the church. It is within me. And I have to plug into that power every day. I love hearing about when people say, I need to plug in my phone or else it won't have power throughout the day. Golf carts need to plug into a power system so that they can run around the golf course all day. I need to plug into God every day so that I can run around all day. But running around being of service to others, helping others, thinking of others, eating the right foods, not condemning, doing my primary purpose, being of the maximum service to God and the people about me. That's my primary purpose. I love the earlier share. It's not about the exercise programs. It's not about how I look. It's about how I'm getting closer to God, whether it's through my church membership, but most of all, this 12-step program. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Roz G. Jackie H., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, all my fellows. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. And like an earlier share, the very, very first sentence, we think it no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. Again, the inclusiveness that just shoots out to me. And, you know, this is, my journey took me into being in the ministry where I was in my role as a pastor's wife. And believe me, the church that I was in was not inclusive. It was very exclusive. And I bought into all that. And all the while that I bought into all that, I was still protected by God, right? I was still in safe in the mind and heart of God. But I was doing these behaviors that were just judgmental, and it was our way or the highway. I look back on that with no regrets, because I got to be of service, and that's what I wanted to do. I got to be of service. It may not have been the best, highest, but I did. And so today, the God that I know is all inclusive. He does not exclude one of us for any reason at all. And this program, we get to be the carriers of this beautiful, beautiful message here, that there is a solution and that food was not our problem. We have a spiritual malady, and God will take care of that, whatever that looks like to you. And today, my God is so loving, and I heard the special edition yesterday, and the way the speaker spoke about how God had, these were not her words, how God had her back all through the years that she thought things were going so bad. And I just listened to that, and it was like salve being poured on my head, and it reminded me of my journey and all the times that there's been so much heartache and pain, that God actually had my back. He had me in his arms. And today I get to actually feel that, and I get to experience. God is no longer a concept to me. I don't know what God is. I can't explain to you. There are no words. I just know there is one. I know there is one, and I experience God today. And actually, personally, myself, I am not a member of a church. I have not found a body that serves me, that really has the inclusiveness that I'm looking for, and that's okay. And I get to be okay with that. And I don't have to tell anybody what to do, where to go to church, not to go to church, go to church. I get to tell them. I get to share this program, and I get to share that God is loving. He loves them. Nothing they could have ever done, ever, could change that, not for a minute. All of the bad things that they think they've done has not affected God's love for us in at all. And I get to share this program. I get to take people through this book, and we get to live this beautiful design for living. And wow, what more could I ask? And I'm in Colorado today too, but it is not sunny. It's raining. And that's okay too. I don't get to control the weather. So anyway, everybody have a wonderful day, and I will pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Susan H., please share with us.
Did you call out for me? This is Susan
H. I did.
Okay,
Susan.
I was
I was unmuting. What stood out to me was we think at no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify with as individuals. And that gave me, it freed me to discuss my beliefs, which were not clear and not much at the time. But I felt accepted. What's amazing is we come in with no spiritual beliefs or lost spiritual beliefs. We were respected and accepted. If we come in with a deep connection and established relationship with God and established relationship with a certain religion, we are respected. And it brings me back to page 12 in Bill's story, which it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. And because I made my beginning and I have done the footwork and I continue to, I take baby steps towards my higher power and I am being shown. I have a deep trust that my higher power has my back. My higher power is bringing me to where I need to be. And as long as I keep doing the footwork and keep looking to get closer to God and be of maximum service to my higher power and my fellows, it's just amazing. I'm so grateful for where I am now. And it's a lot more than and being a size that I can manage. That's good. That's nice. But to know that there is someone who has my back, loves me always, even in my many, many shortcomings, it's just unbelievable. So I'm very grateful, and I'm grateful to be able to share that with you, my fellows. Thank you. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Susan H. Okay, I'd like to take some more names, please, one at a time. Thank you. Who would like to share?
Anna B.
Barna B?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sylvia F.
Sylvia F. Anyone else?
Beatrice O.
Beatrice O.
Jason F.
Jason F.
Mary Ellen A.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Ellen A, was it?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll stop there, and we may have more time or not afterwards. We'll see how we go. Anna B., please get us started.
Hi, this is Anna B.
Good morning, Anna. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Okay, thank you. With this program, I became really strong with my connection with God. And this is, I go in and out of my belief in my connection with God. And when my mother had passed, when my OA group was no longer there, and disbanded, and it looked like everything was just going downhill, and I relapsed. And as soon as I got on these lines in February, after having a large relapse, a large weight gain, I listened to just one of your meetings, just called up one day, and just after the first meeting, I became abstinent. And it just started there. And my you guys encouraged me to stick my toe in the in the ocean when it came to getting connection back with God. And I started to do that. And since then, things have been happening that are good. Not all things in my life are good. But there was other losses, you know, I had to endure and everything. And but there's some really good miracles that I'm seeing. And because of this program, I mean, the abstinence is great, but the bigger issue is my connection with God and my strength in that. And when I took a girlfriend of mine to an Orthodox church so they could speak to her in her language, and they were looking at me, you know, well, aren't you Orthodox? And I was raised that particular religion. And I said, yes, well, why don't you go to church here? It was kind of like this judgmental thing. And I just looked at them. I just didn't. And then they just kind of realized that they, you know, I didn't have to say any more. I was just full. I was full with God. And, you know, I was just full of God and God's grace. And it was just wonderful. And I could be standing in my own in any religious place. And people can ask and do whatever they want to do, or, you know, or be suspicious about it. But God shines through for me. And, you know, I'm just very, very grateful for this program and what it has given me, and the strength and the understanding and how to be of service to other people. And whether it's in the program or outside the program. And I'm just grateful for you guys to help me be a better human being in this world. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Anna B. Sylvia F., please share with us.
Hi, this is Sylvia F., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And hi, Kathy, thank you for your service. And I've been off the lines for about a year, and it's so reassuring to come back and have everybody still be there. And on this passage, it says, it talks about, you know, religious bodies, and it really identifies the difference for me between religion and spirituality, and that we all have a relationship with the higher power in some form or another, and it doesn't matter which religious affiliation we come in with, and we retain or we change, and it doesn't affect the recovery that's possible for all of us. And what's going on for me is a year of seeking a connection with a higher power and with God. It's been a little over a year. Last Thursday, a year ago, a good friend of the program died, and it took me down. It took me down hard. And I've spent a year being quiet. And one of the things that we had worked on before she died was a feeling that she had lost a connection with her higher power. So what I'm reminded is that I never felt this past year that I had been abandoned by God or by a higher power. It's just I wasn't able. The connection was lost on my end. And that's what I'm working on. And it takes being quiet. I know a lot of times when I was trying so hard to feel good, I wanted to feel good. God had great recovery. And my sponsor, wise beyond her years, would always tell me, do less, Sylvia. You need to do less. Because it wasn't in all the actions. I needed to be quieter. And that's still going on. And so I haven't lost faith in recovery at all. And I do know that just as this passage is talking about, there's no judgment on how we find the path, how we find recovery, how we make the connection. It's just all our own individual journey. And this appears to be mine right now. And my work is to be patient and non-judgmental, even about myself. So with that, I pass. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Sylvia F. It's really nice to hear you on the line. Beatrice O., please share with us.
Hi, this is Beatrice O. From the Bay Area in California. Can I be heard?
Yes.
So today's Memorial Day, and I'm really proud and grateful that I live in the United States and I have freedom to believe whatever I want to believe. And there's a lot of men and women who have died for our freedom. And, you know, our currency says, in God we trust. And I want to read a passage in the on page 55. It's in the big book. It says, actually, we are fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship, or other things, but in some form or another, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and the miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. And I do belong to a religious body, and I'm grateful that it's there. And I don't have to judge them either, because I think they're just sick people trying to get well. And I think that we need each other. We need each other in this program, and we need people in community. I think I don't think that we're supposed to be, an island onto ourselves. And I needed that higher power to heal my heart. And I needed, and the other thing I need to do is I have to respect other people's beliefs. And I think that one thing that religious bodies do is they think that, and I just relearned this just recently, they think that they're right and other people are wrong. And they think that their way is the only way. So I have to, bottom line is, keep my nose on my own plate. I am grateful for my higher power. I am so grateful. And for me to have a relationship with him, I have to tap into that every day. You can't have a relationship with anybody, even a human being, if you're not communicating and connecting. You know, my higher power has adopted me as his own. And, you know, I know that what's happening in our world today, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I have a loving God that lives within me, and I know that this isn't the end for me. So I can live in peace and love and service. And, you know, my higher power says, be still.
That's time.
And I guess the last thing I wanted to do is, when I turned my will and life over to the care of God and he adopted me as his own, I have a new DNA. I have a new DNA. Everything has passed and I'm a new person. I'm like the big book Bill says, I am born again. So thank you for letting me share, and happy Memorial Day.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Jason S., please share with us.
Thanks, Kathy. Just let me know. I'm having trouble with my phone, so if you can't hear me well, let me know. This Jason S., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Lacombe, Alberta, Canada. Yeah, reading this paragraph, this short paragraph, what it brings to mind for me that I was thinking about was, oh, it's my ego, you know. My ego separates me from others, right? So I spent so much time prior to coming into program looking at what was wrong with all these religions and whatnot. And I can find any reason to not like a religious body. And I think that centers in the fact that I still will still be thinking that I can figure a way that works, you know. My best thinking got me in the rooms, and it got me to, you know, a place where I was sick and, you know, morbidly obese, you know, and... That thinking that got me where I am and to where I might be currently unmanageable in my life, you know, that thinking that I know better, or that, you know, I want to separate myself from those people, right? You know, I'm not a straight-laced guy, you know, and religious bodies scare me, you know. So there was another thing that, you know, I wanted to try and stay away from it or separate myself from it. One thing I have learned, though, in program is that, you know, my experience is that all religious bodies share some common principles, spiritual principles, and, you know, and there's this page in the book on page 87 where it says, you know, to be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they offer. And the reason that I've... think that most of us end up favoring joining these religious bodies is because the reason is because they focus and try and enlarge our spiritual life, and I think that if I spend more time looking at the commonality between them instead of focusing on the differences, is, you know, really when I start to get free of myself, and you know, it's something that I have to practice on a daily basis, and you know, and ask my higher power to, you know, have that faith in a higher power to get me out of that, and just be willing to want to see things differently. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Jason S. And Mary Ellen H., you have 2 minutes for the share. You'll be our last speaker. Go ahead, Mary Ellen.
Good morning. This is Mary Ellen A. from Oregon. And I just want to say that I'm thankful for a 12-step program that doesn't require that I believe in a certain kind of God. And, you know, if that had been the case, I wouldn't have been around these rooms. And it's really given me so much freedom to release myself from the dogma that I grew up with, that I always struggled and never felt a part of, and always felt doomed. And it's given me the freedom to learn what my God is and what my God isn't. And that is supporting me in my recovery process. And, you know, it's really wonderful to be able to learn these things. And, you know, now I feel like my God is no longer a he, it's a she. I feel like I've been most nurtured in my life by female perspectives. And but the one thing that I've really learned and learning in this recovery process is that everything I think I know, I don't know anymore. I'm a 46-year-old woman that's broken. I've had so many failed relationships and marriages and loss of family, and this past year I've lost my stepson was killed on his bicycle, and I've made a decision to leave my sex addicted husband and forge out in the world again on my own. And I realize everything I think I know, I don't know. And it's really going to be up to me to put aside and start listening to my higher power and what she has to tell me, and listen to what you guys share with me on the line about not eating because I'm in so much pain, or not eating because I'm just driven by compulsion, and to start listening to that beautiful little spirit that comes from within and from all you lovely, beautiful, recovering people. And I'm just so grateful for a 12-step program. I'm grateful for this big book, and thank you for the ability to be able to find and define my version of a higher power. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary Ellen H. And thank you to everyone who was here today, listened and read and shared. It was a wonderful meeting, and we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kathy Jo P., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.